have about
Love
3 minutes.
Talk Radio.
Oh, okay.
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 Long if you like.
I can
that was
perfect
timing.
Good evening, everybody. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any comments you would like to make during this broadcast, you can either call them in at area code 646-716-4893, or if you're feeling radio shy, not a problem. You can email me at bonkay@aol.com. That's bonkaye@aol.com. Before I introduce my guest, I just want to send love to everybody during this very difficult holiday season. And we've been having some great shows with some great ways to cope through the holidays, because this is really the toughest time of the year for women who are just in the beginning of their journey, or to women who have been through this journey. There's a lot of residual scarring around the holiday times, and we've had some wonderful guests in the last few weeks who have talked about ways to cope through this. If you need support during this time, please feel free to email me at bonkay@aol.com, and I will make sure you find the support that you're looking for. Also, today is a very special day for the listeners of our radio broadcast. It's December 21st, and my monthly co-anchor, Suzette Hinton, is getting married today. And we're so excited for her as we watched her proceed through the last, couple of years after meeting her soulmate, after marrying her gay husband twice, not once but twice, as Suzette has explained to us, that, that happened because she really did believe back in those days that her husband could change through God, but it took two times until she understood, and she's become a wonderful author and inspiration to all of us, and she's here every month with me, And today is that big wedding day for her, to just give hope to everyone that life can start again and you can find your soulmate. In fact, I think one of our guests could tell you that story too. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce my two very, very special guests. Tonight I'm happy to welcome back Kim Brooks Mazzella, who was Kim Brooks the last time she was here.
That's right.
We also have Amy Shea, who I'm so excited to have here because Amy is in charge of the Gay Dads Project, and we've had some wonderful conversation earlier, and I'm really impressed with her. So I'd like to welcome you to our show also, Amy, and hope that you'll become a guest more often after this.
Thanks.
That's really... So, Kim, let's talk a little bit, you know, first to you. And what I'd like to do is to find out from you, since you've last been with our show, what has changed? You've gotten married, right?
I did. I got married in August of 2013.
Which I think is wonderful.
Yeah,
and
actually
how's that?
It's pretty wonderful.
I know, because you yourself are also a straight wife, right? In addition to
That's
being
right.
a wonderful
yeah,
therapist, you're also a former straight wife.
That's right. I was divorced for a long time. My husband came out back in 1987, and I just remarried last year. So I was single for a very long time, and suddenly I'm not only married, but I'm also a mom of a teenager. So it's been quite a transition, but I wouldn't have it any other way. It's been great.
And Kim, when you were going through, after your divorce, you said it took a long time until you met someone, correct?
Met the right one, yes.
Until you met the right one. Was there a period of time when you weren't even interested in meeting anyone?
You know, not really. I mean, certainly, you know, in the year or two following the divorce, I wasn't in a position to meet anybody, but I was always optimistic that I would meet someone and marry again. It really never occurred to me that I wouldn't.
Yeah, but did you feel you needed time to rebuild yourself? And
absolutely.
Because I always tell women, I know that when you finish a marriage like this, you know, you feel for years that you've been robbed of what you really wanted in your life, and that's intimacy, passion with someone who could love you for who you are. And women, you know, go both ways. Sometimes they say, well, I'm not ready to meet anybody, and sometimes they just jump. And I always say jumping is dangerous because, you know, until you can really go through this whole process of rebuilding yourself, I call it gay husband recovery, that you have to give yourself time to know who you are, see what happened to you. Because if you don't, then you'll meet somebody who's also just as unsavory. It doesn't have to be someone gay, but somebody who's not worthy of you. And that's my philosophy. Do you feel kind of the same way?
Well, I agree with parts of that. I mean, I certainly would not characterize my ex-husband as unsavory. I mean, he's a good man and, you know, has a lot of wonderful qualities. And I'm glad to some extent that I met him and married him. But I do think that taking some time after the divorce to not only process what happened and the grief and the anger and the shock and everything that went along with it, but also kind of processing myself, you know, what was my part in picking that man, you know, and is there anything I needed to know about myself, I needed to learn about myself, so moving forward, that I would make better decisions. So I'm not saying
that. And I think
that it was
very important, right?
Yeah. Sometimes when people hear that, they, you know, hear that as me saying it was my fault. And it's not that at all. It's just that it takes two people to create a relationship. And, you know, I can say for me that I was fairly naive and fairly immature, and I had on blinders. And so I needed to know that about myself, and that's what I spent a lot of time learning.
I always feel that with the women that I've been working with through, you know, the last 30 years, that I tell them that when you're in a broken marriage, it's often because you're coming from a broken home. That's been my experience. not everyone, but I would say many of the women that I work with, and that they came from homes where there were all kinds of problems, including it could be alcohol, it could be drugs, it could be, you know, it could be all kinds of family problems. It could be mental health issues, and that's just a fact of life. You know, some people come from very unstable homes, so they're looking for a solution, and so they may jump into something, even if they have some doubts, hoping that it'll make something better or that
right.
it's better than where they're coming from. And so I say not only did you break more through this marriage, but you may have often broken before you even got to this marriage, and that's why you have to spend time getting to learn who you are and how to
that's
build
right.
yourself
and,
up.
And I also think it's important to point out that, you know, sometimes our backgrounds and the dynamics of our families of origin are more subtle. So it doesn't, you know, it's not necessarily coming from a home where there was overt abuse or alcoholism or something. You know, sometimes it was just, like in my case, you know, parents who were older, maybe a bit of, you know, I was the youngest, some benign neglect. And so when I met this person who showered me with, you know, flowers and compliments, and I'd never had that. And I was like a sponge. I just wanted more. So I think sometimes our backgrounds and the dynamics are really kind of more subtle, but equally as important to understand.
Mm-hmm. So now your life has moved on, and of course you're helping women, as you've been doing
mm-hmm.
for so long, because that's how I came to know you. One of our
yeah,
women
men and
is
women.
Part of the support network, right?
Yeah.
Raved about you.
Oh, well, thank you. But I also work with a fair number of men, too, whose wives have come out. So
mm-hmm.
it's both sides.
Well, that's not how I found you, though, because I'm only working with the women whose husbands
right.
are gay. But, you know, like I said, I've heard just wonderful things, not from just one person, from more than one person, about how wonderful you are in working with this situation. And maybe it's because of the fact that you truly get it because you've been through it. You think that helps you with this?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that it, you know, in some ways it was a professional blessing because, you know, I do have that background. I do understand it. And as a therapist, it also enables me to understand both sides of the issue. So I do think it, you know, it has worked out. It's sort of an unexpected niche for me. And I do think that having gone through it has made me a much better therapist for other straight spouses.
And I think that's why it's such a problem when women ask me that they want to go through therapy. And they can't make a connection with their therapist. It's mainly because the therapists aren't even familiar with the situation. And that's why I'm very blessed to have a wonderful network of people who I can recommend, including Kim. She's on our referral site, link site for therapists. And, you know, I've been very lucky to meet some wonderful women who and men who are doing this kind of therapy because they understand it and they get it. But certainly you have the advantage of going through it, as I have Kathy Holmline in California, who also went through it. And
mm-hmm.
I think that going through it really gives you that insight that no matter how good a therapist you are, it's not quite the same as living through it. I mean, that's my personal opinion.
Well,
do you
and
agree
I'll
with
tell
that?
You, I do. And a story that I hear over and over is, you know, somebody will say, well, you know, I went to see this therapist and I told them about what was going on and they whipped out the Kinsey scale and said, well, we're all on a continuum. And that's so frustrating for me as a therapist because that is not what we're talking about. You know, we're not talking about somebody who's higher on the scale towards bisexuality. We're talking about people who are homosexual but got into a marriage for whatever reason, hoping it would work, hoping it would change. And so when I hear about therapists trying to sort of normalize it, it really can be invalidating for the woman who's looking for help.
I agree with you. And, of course, then you have those therapists who have their own slants and their own biases who feel that you really can work on these marriages. You know, you
mm-hmm.
just have to be willing to compromise a little more or overlook certain things. And so women feel so much worse coming out of there. And they're more confused than ever. So that's
yeah.
why having someone who really has experienced it to me really gives you that added advantage of having someone who can understand you and someone who can help you in the direction that you're looking to go to. So
and there certainly are,
why I think
there certainly are some women who do want to try and make it work. It's hard, and I would say most of the time it doesn't. But sometimes, you know, you do come across the rare couple where there are enough other factors that they are able to sort of work around it and accommodate it. But that, like I said, that's not the norm, and it really takes a very special couple to make that happen.
Right, and there could be, once again, reasons that they're staying together that may not be right for other people. It could be because of illness. I have women who come to me and they're really stuck because of the fact that they have physical disabilities or they have other issues at the moment. And I just don't think these are healthy marriages. I call them toxic marriages because it never gives people the best quality of life that they really deserve. And so I know that other people feel differently, but that's kind of where I'm coming from. But more importantly, you're there to really help women heal. And
right.
You're doing great work in that field. And not only are you doing it, but you have a wonderful hookup now with Amy, right?
Oh, we're a great team, Amy and I. It was an unexpected pleasure to meet her online and finally meet in person just a couple of months ago. It couldn't have been a better fit, I think, in terms of two people who have the same vision and the same passion for what we'd like to accomplish.
What I think is so interesting, when I was speaking to Amy earlier today, I think she was a little surprised when I told her this. You know, when any woman goes through this, one of the major concerns is that she feels so isolated and alone. Because no matter how far we've come on this particular issue, it's still a hidden issue.
Mm-hmm.
Or one where women are afraid to come out, they feel embarrassed, ashamed, they're going to be questioned, what was their part in this? And so they feel so isolated because it's not something that you see every day. And I think Amy was quite surprised also when I said to her, let's think about it. You know, because she felt so isolated also. She never met anyone until recent years she could talk about it either. And I said to her, think about how many children there are when there are like 4 million women in this country who either have been or are married to a gay or bisexual man.
Mm-hmm.
Bisexual, I mean a man who identifies as bisexual.
Yeah.
And so if you look at it as at least one child, that's 4 million kids. 2 children, 8 million kids. Some of them have 3 children or 4 children. Now you're looking at 12, 15, 20 million kids. And yet they probably feel just as isolated as Amy does. And I know that from my own support group that I ran for a few years and, you know, for children with gay fathers. And everyone felt very isolated going through this. It's a totally different dynamic, I think, than what the wives are going through. So, Amy, was that any comfort to you, knowing how many there are out there?
Yeah, it's been absolutely life-changing for me that I've been able to meet and connect with so many other kids. It's just opened up this whole new realm of me, and it's been a complete game-changer in just who I am and how, I mean, I've always been a pretty open person, but it's just opened me up even more. And being able to discuss all the similarities and the differences, and it's just helped me understand, what I want to leave behind from my family of origin, the toxic dysfunctional parts of it. And then it's also allowed me to kind of see like what's really great about, both of my parents are really good people. And I think both of them have qualities that I can admire and, keep in my life with me. So it's just been really, and to know that there's that many more out there, I just think it's really cool to be able to connect. And I think the internet's really helped us with that. But connect together and just be able to share all of our experiences, how different and how similar they are.
Right, and I told you that I'm so excited that you're in the same area as the facilitator for our group, Jason. And I hope Jason's listening to this. I know that he's getting ready to leave town for holidays, but, you know, he said he would be listening. And Jason's done a wonderful job at trying to gather others together, you know, through Facebook and also on Yahoo, and to discuss the issues. And, you know, we've had chats over it. And hopefully the two of you can meet up together and really, you know, we can pool our resources to get more people to come over and to participate with this, because I think it's, to me, always been the major problem. I mean, adults are adults, but kids are kids, and kids see things going on that they can't understand. And it's so important for kids to have that support. So hopefully this will start blooming even more so for you, and I'm more than happy to help you with that.
Yeah, cool.
So Kim, tell us about the two of you and what you're doing together. What are you and Amy doing together?
Well, we just to give you a little bit of background. A couple of years ago, I was applying for the Chase. I think it's called the Small Business Mission Street. I've got the words mixed up, but anyway, they offer a Mission Street fund. Grant for small businesses. And so I think that's the time that Amy and I connected online, and I wrote up a proposal including her organization, the Gay Dad Project, and we weren't offered the grant, but we kept in touch. And then this year I applied for it again, and so we just got talking on the phone, and I was telling her about this weekend that I wanted to create for straight spouses and for adult children of somebody who's come out, and then eventually including the person who's come out. And she and I just shared that vision, and one day I literally said to her, because I wanted her to experience the weekend herself so she would know what it was I was trying to talk her into. And one day, I think in June, I just said, Amy, let's just do it. And so she and I both flew to St. Louis, and she went through the weekend. I'd already been through it. And the rest is history, and now we have three on the books ready to go for straight spouses here in D.C. coming up in just a couple weeks, and then for straight spouses and adult kids in San Francisco and in Chicago.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So how about the ones that are you going to be at all of those, Kim, also? The ones for the adult kids?
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So you're really going to be on the move there.
Yeah.
What are the dates of these different?
Amy, remind me of the others. The D.C. date is January 9th.
San Francisco is April 24th. Yeah, 24th, 25th, and 26th. And then Chicago is May 15th through the 17th.
Yeah.
That's wonderful, because we definitely, you know, parents need to send their kids to those. And maybe you can give me a little write-up of that also so I can put that in the next newsletter.
Great.
So that people will be aware for their adult children that there's going to be these seminars, because I'm sure many of them can use that kind of help. And also, I'll be more than happy to post it on my Facebook page for my adult children's group and also on our regular group. So it'll be great if you can send me that information, too. And, Kim, how do these seminars work? Explain to me. They're 3 days, right?
They're 3 days. They start on Friday night. And Friday night is about, and, you know, since Amy jumped in, I took it back in 1990. So her recollection is certainly more recent. But Friday night is about team building and about sort of calming some nerves, I'm guessing, because it, you know, you sort of don't know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know each other a little better.
Yeah, getting to know the other students. And then for the rest of the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, you're doing a – people take turns, everybody has a turn, and you're just working to push through any obstacles in your life that are holding you back, whether it's, you know, getting divorced from a gay spouse, or, you know, it can really just be anything. And so it's very experiential, you know, role-playing or doing just different exercises to deal with any any sorts of painful issues that are keeping you stuck. Amy, can you add anything to that?
No, that's how I would describe it.
Okay.
I used my weekend to work through probably some issues with both of my parents, I think, like things that I want to say to them in conversations that I can have. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, tell a little bit about your story, Amy, because when you found out, how you found out, did you have any suspicion before you found out? Can you tell us?
I had suspicion. I always knew that my parents weren't very happy married together, and so there was always something that, you know, their relationship wasn't working. That was obvious. But the reason why their relationship wasn't working was a little less obvious, but I picked up on it in high school. I kind of noticed that my dad wasn't really like other dads. There was just something kind of different about him. He was the typical like Montana guy that liked to hunt and fish and do those sorts of things. But then he also loved theater, and he was a music teacher, and he, you know, took dance lessons and played all kinds of musical instruments. So there were some things that kind of made me like, huh. And then my dad, actually, we had a conversation about it when I was in college. And that's when he officially came out to me. And so I grew up until I was 18, kind of with this on my own. I didn't really have anybody to talk to, and I talked a little bit with my younger sister, but she didn't really want to talk about it with me. And so it was just kind of this secret that I felt like I kept for a while. Even though
Amy,
I knew
was
that,
there any reason that you were you thinking at that point that he was gay? Did you have any reason to, I mean, other than just having that feeling?
Were I
there
just
any
had that
other
feeling
signs?
And that he didn't seem like other dads. But it was really obvious that my parents' marriage didn't work. They just, neither of them were happy in the marriage. So that was, you know, I always knew that my parents would end up divorced, and so that was not shocking to me. There's some kids I know that come from families where it's a real shock, like the divorce is, you know, their parents seemed happy, and so that wasn't a big shock for me. And actually, because I had suspicions, the actual being gay wasn't an issue for me either. I mean, it was an issue, but it wasn't shocking. It didn't come out of the blue. I had thought about it, and I had, you know, wondered. But yeah, what was I answering now? I got lost.
I don't know, but I'm so mesmerized listening to you. But one of the issues that you and I discussed, and I don't know how you feel about this, Kim, but I'm very strong about these marriages not staying together for the sake of the children, because I really do believe they're destructive to the whole family unit. When people can't be happy, children know what's going on. Many of my women say to me, well, I'm staying together, I'm putting on a good act, my children don't know anything. I say children are smart enough to know something is wrong and when their mothers aren't happy. And I have found that children from these marriages internalize that they're the cause of their family's unhappiness. They're never going to come out and say that something's wrong, then it must be you that's causing the unhappiness as a child, which is totally untrue. But that's the perception of the child, that I'm doing something to make my parents unhappy because, you know, my mother's trying to look happy. So it's not a problem with my dad because they're not fighting, so it must be me. And so for those women who say they're staying together for the sake of the children, I come from a volatile home, and they weren't doing us any favors by being together. When my parents split up, you know, things got much calmer. But I grew up in tumult, and, you know, it was tumultuous circumstances where my younger sisters grew up in a single-parent home, and even though they didn't have money, you know, they really struggled financially, they were much better adjusted than I was. So that was in a straight home, not straight gay home. With these other marriages, there's so many issues and so much unhappiness that I just feel it's best that both parents have the guts to say, you know what, this isn't really the kind of marriage we're looking for, and it's not helping the children. So what are your thoughts on that, Amy? You were telling me a little bit when you were growing up that you wish that your parents had felt that way.
I just wish that this conversation had happened much earlier, that there were, I mean, there might have been books and this conversation about, you know, parents coming out after, gay parents coming out after straight marriage, because I wish that my parents had heard that when we were growing up, because they definitely stayed together for us kids, I think. And I always just wanted, as a kid, you just want your parents happy. So it didn't make sense that that we were all suffering just, you know, for us. It was.
And you didn't know why, right?
In my early childhood, no, I didn't. I really internalized that. And I kind of grew to understand that marriage and kids equaled misery. And it took me a while to kind of rewrite that script and understand that, you know, getting married and having kids doesn't make people miserable. It actually can be a really great thing. So yeah, that was one way that it was really confusing, you know, understanding sexual attraction and romantic relationships. That was something I also didn't get in my childhood. It was, you know, there was no sexual attraction in my parents' marriage, so that wasn't modeled for me. Affection wasn't really modeled for me either. And all of that stuff was really confusing to make sense of later.
Definitely.
Yeah.
That's what I say too. And Kim, how do you feel about that?
I think every marriage and every family is different and unique. And I don't think that there really is a broad brush about what people should or should not do. I mean, I really do see any number of couples who very much love each other and are very good friends, enjoy each other's company. So it's not, you know, a chilly atmosphere or a toxic atmosphere. It's tough. I mean, you know, no matter what the reasons, kids always assume that they're the reason for the divorce. That just comes with the territory. But I don't think that anybody really can necessarily say what any given couple should or shouldn't do. It's just what works for them.
Right. I was bringing up the point, though, that if they feel that they're staying together for the sake of the children, that's not necessarily a valid point.
You mean, like a valid reason to stay together?
Well, I see women who stay there and they say, I can't leave until my children are grown.
Yeah.
And thinking that it's going to make things worse, but sometimes it really makes things better. When children are suffering in the marriage.
I've also seen, you know, women who have left and who have been just financially devastated. But again, that's less about, you know, the gay issue and more about just, you know, a husband who is not following through on his commitment to take care of the family. So, like I said, you know, in my opinion, I've seen enough couples to know that it really varies from household to household. Most of the time, they do divorce. It's true. But again, there are some couples that really do try and work it out because they, you know, at the end of the day, really do care for one another. And they can make it work for some, you know. I couldn't. I mean,
yeah.
I wasn't one of those people, but I know that they're out there.
Maybe, but I wouldn't be hearing from them, so. I'm hearing from them when they're at the point where they are having those problems that just can't be resolved. So
yeah,
you're probably
yeah.
hearing from different people than I am. But I know you work with all kinds of people in all kinds of situations and, you know, work along with what they feel they want to do and the best way to do it.
Yeah,
and
that's exactly
so
right.
Effective.
Yeah.
So what are the plans with this conference that you're going to be having? Because it's part of that format that, you know, you both went to.
Mm-hmm.
But what's going to be different about it? Like when somebody comes to this, you know, if they come for the 3 days, what do they expect to find in that time or to learn?
I will say that it's going to be tweaked a bit to address our particular group of folks who are coming. But more than anything, we wanted to create a weekend where, you know, you talked earlier, Bonnie, about that sense of isolation that both the straight spouses and the kids have. And so we
mm-hmm.
thought it would be really powerful to have this weekend with just other people who get it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's probably the greatest difference and the most important difference is that everybody else who's a student in the course, who's taking the course, understands what you're going through and what you've gone through. And that's just, that in and of itself is just so powerful.
It is, because I know when I have my healing weekends, it's the first time other women are meeting women from other parts of the country, the world, the different continents, who have never really met anybody else before, maybe online, but not
mm-hmm.
face-to-face. Mm-hmm. And I think that face-to-face connection is extremely valuable.
Yes,
you know, you walk
absolutely.
Away from there feeling totally different than when you walked in there. And just the sisterhood and the camaraderie that grows and builds through that
mm-hmm.
is just an amazing experience. So I'm sure you're going to have that same experience. Right?
We are. And the two facilitators are fabulous. Pam Dunn, who owns the Your Infinite Life Training and Coaching Company, they're actually facilitating the weekend. She's an author. I think she has a Doctor of Divinity. She's just a wonderful, wonderful person. And Dan Civils is an attorney, and he is really devoting himself to doing this kind of work, not just these weekends, but all sorts of personal growth work. So we are looking forward to lots of emotions, lots of dancing, lots of laughter, lots of hugging, lots of tears. And at the end of the weekend, I hope that everybody feels 25 pounds lighter. That's my goal.
Man, I need to go there. If I could do 50, it'd be great. Now, you have
come twice.
Now this is, that's what I'm going to have to do. I might have to make that third one with Amy. Okay, but here you have the, it's called Kintsukuroi. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah, it's Kintsukuroi.
Okay.
And that
and
is,
can you tell me how that name came up?
Yeah, for me, and Amy probably saw it too, but a friend of mine had posted it on Facebook, and with this wonderful picture of a piece of pottery, and it is a Japanese type of making pottery or repairing pottery where the pottery is broken, instead of tossing it, you actually repair the cracks with gold lacquer. And then the belief is that the bowl or the piece of pottery is all the more beautiful for having been broken. And when I saw that the first time, it was so moving, and I never forgot it. And then Amy and I talked about it, and we thought that was just a nice metaphor for what we were trying to create. And our working tagline is building strength in broken places.
So is this going to be primarily done through your weekends that you're planning? Or will there be follow-up activities? I'm just trying to get a better handle.
Initially, it's going to be the weekend, although
mm-hmm.
There is a 52-week series of exercises that Pam has created, so there's continuity there. But also, there is the opportunity to build communities of folks mm-hmm. who have taken the weekend, and that's what Amy and I really are hoping to create.
Yeah. Connect people through the weekend.
I guess I'm also a little unclear. You have two people who are facilitating this. You mentioned their names.
Mm-hmm.
And are you all, you two, all, are both of you also facilitating or they're facilitating?
They are facilitating, and Amy and I
mm-hmm.
are just, you know, doing all the background things to just to make the weekend happen.
And assisting in the...
Yeah, assisting in the process.
And yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If it's,
and
you know,
are they going to be doing all of the weekends, or eventually are the two of you going to be facilitating them on your own? How do you see this in the future?
I would very much like to facilitate the weekends myself, in addition
mm-hmm.
to Pam and Dan. I mean, they're only two people. They can only do
exactly.
so much in so many weekends. And, you know, Amy and I are planning to really essentially take over the world. And so we figure we need more people, you know, because we
mm-hmm.
really want this to be something that spreads, that is offered to all sorts of folks, and that is just, you know, really healing on a broad, much larger basis.
Mm-hmm. Kim, you know, when you went through this, you said you went through it many years ago, but
mm-hmm.
you said it was an extremely healing event for you, or growth event for you. Is that correct?
That is, yeah, absolutely. It was transformational.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Well, for me, personally, I grew up in a home where there was not, emotion was not expressed. If it was not expressed loudly. So that was literally, and I was, I don't know, 30-something, literally the first time I'd heard people yell at each other. So that was an eye-opener. And then I learned to have my own voice. And so it was really powerful in that way. And it was also powerful, and as crazy as this sounds, but, you know, the dancing part for me, I was a pretty introverted, kind of shy person. And, you know, they had this just, you know, periods where you could just dance like a crazy person. And I did it, and it was just so liberating. So just everything
mm-hmm.
about the weekend really tapped into places in myself that needed to grow. And I left there with just tremendous confidence, and I became, I think, a much better therapist as a result of having gone through it.
I think that's wonderful.
Yeah.
And how about your experience,
really,
Amy? How did you feel about it?
It was, again, another, I mean, I'm still in my journey. I mean, I keep, you know, I'm wanting to grow and learn more and, you know, pushing myself to new limits, and this was just a wonderful weekend to take some time and really reflect on. I realized how far I'd come in the last 10 or so years, and then to kind of spot out some places that I still have some growth to do. And it was a really comforting experience for me. It was a very safe environment that I could go through some emotions that I needed to go through. And just a really positive experience all around. So,
I'll ask you both the same question everybody asks me with the healing weekends. So here they go. How many women were? How many? Was it just women, or is it women and men?
It's men and women. Yeah.
Okay. And how many people were part of this group?
The weekends, like how many students will be there?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We have over
is there a
10
limit
for,
or
right?
Yeah, no, but yeah, there. Ideally, there's around 15 to 18. Mm. Our goal was 15, and right now
mm-hmm.
we have 12, which is fabulous for the very first
yes,
time.
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
so there'll be, hopefully by the time January 9th rolls around, there will be 9 students. Almost half of them are men, which was a little surprising to me. But I'm very glad. And, you know, as I said, 15 to 18 ultimately will be what we'll shoot for.
Now, are these primarily men then who had lesbian women, lesbian wives? Or
Yes,
yeah.
All of them are. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And also, what kind of facilities are there? Do you stay there, hotels? You know, I'm just trying to get a feel for that.
You know, it varies. With our particular one, you know, when I went through the course in Orlando, and I also used to refer a lot of people to it, you know, it was usually held at a community center or, you know, the same place,
mm-hmm.
and people stayed at their houses and just came. But for this one, people are actually coming in from Pennsylvania. There's people coming in from other states. Somebody's coming in from Florida. So we're having it at a local hotel, and then they've given us a good room rate. And so people who want to and need to can stay at the hotel, or they can drive back home if they live close by. Yeah.
Okay, so you'll be in a hotel, so people don't have to travel from one place to another place, right?
Exactly, yeah.
That always seems to work for me, too. So I think that's great. And so if people want to attend, there's still time for them to get in on this?
Yes, absolutely.
So what's the best way to connect with this? To connect to you?
They can reach out to me. And I'll say, since Amy's in San Francisco, this one is easier for me. She gets to do the next one. So I would say to shoot me an email at kim@straightforwardcounseling.com, and I would be happy to answer any questions and get people hooked up if they're interested in doing it.
Right. And if you didn't get that email address, you can just write to me, and I'll be happy to forward it to Kim immediately.
And Bonnie, if I can add one more thing.
As much as you like.
The cost of the course is generally $395 per person. And that just pretty much covers the operating costs of renting the conference room and paying the facilitators and that kind of thing. We are actually, for this first one, offering it at 75% off. We're offering it for $95 because so many people are left in financial straits. We wanted to make it affordable for as many people as possible, and we'd like to do that moving forward, too. So Amy and I have also started I'm going to put a plug here, for our GoFundMe campaign, because what we're trying to do is raise enough money that we can subsidize anybody who wants to come but can't afford the full tuition. So do you mind if I give the link to our GoFundMe campaign?
Oh, please do. Go right ahead.
Okay. Because, even $10, would make a difference and would help support somebody to go through it. So it is www.gofundme.com/, and then it's the Kinsukuroi, which is K-I-N as in Nancy, T-S-U-K-U-R-O-I. Or you can just go to GoFundMe.com and look for Straight Spouse Weekend, which might be easier, and it'll take you to our link.
Yeah. For some reason, I just tried to go there, and I didn't get it. GoFundMe.
GoFundMe, and so the name of it is A Straight Spouse Weekend.
Let me just go to GoFundMe.com, and then I'll go look up. Okay. And now I want to look up Straight Spouse Weekend. I'm trying to see where you do that so I can let everybody know.
Oh, wonderful.
But I'm trying to find it, so you'll have to help me here. It says all categories, charity, maybe it'd be under women, maybe.
Is there not a search?
I'm looking for a search, but I don't see one. So maybe you ladies are near a computer, you can try it and see if you can pull it up.
Oh, here it is. Okay, so when you're on the main page, GoFundMe.com, and it says crowdfunding for everyone. Right below that, it says search by zip code or name.
Okay, now where's on the front page?
Yeah, so I'm on www.gofundme.com.
That's where I am, too.
Okay, do you see where it says crowdfunding for everyone?
Yes.
Okay, go straight down, and you'll see the search bar, search by zip code or name, and then type in Straight Spouse Weekend.
Oh, here it is. Okay.
Yeah.
So let me try that. If it works for me, it'll work for other Straight Spouse Weekends. Okay, and here it says Straight Spouse Weekend.
That comes up.
That's great.
Yeah.
Now, how do I donate? Let's see.
Just click on it, and then it will...
Click on your name? Okay.
Click on, yeah.
And 8 now?
Straight
Okay, that's
weekend.
Great, and I will,
yeah.
I will definitely donate to this.
Oh, Bonnie, thank you so much. I mean, we, you know,
so
our
welcome.
Goal is $10,000, and what we're trying to do is pay for, you know, most of the first 3 weekends.
Mm-hmm.
So we set
well,
a pretty lofty goal.
Well, I think this is such
goal.
A worthy cause, you know, because, like I say, this costs a lot of money, and you're giving scholarships or, you know, subsidies
mm-hmm.
to people so that they can afford to go. So that's the most important thing, and I think that some of our women are in better shape than others, and everybody, like you say, could at least contribute $10 to this, to the cause of healing.
Yeah.
Right? And certainly, doesn't get much better than that.
Supporting our fellow straights in going through these weekends because, you know, we've got the 3 on tap, but we'd also like to add more. I mean, I have folks who've said, you know, come to Florida, come to the Northeast. Are you doing one in Texas? You know, so there's a need, as you know, for group healing all over the country.
That's right. Absolutely. And I think that, you know, so, there's so little out there for women. I know that my friends Kathy and Heather, they're in California, and they've been doing workshops on the weekends. They do like 4 sessions of workshops just for straight spouses. They're both therapists, and they have really wonderful success with them. But it's really hard to find. I mean, there's so many, there's millions of us and so few workshops. And
mm-hmm.
so that's why I think the more good things you have going on, you know, the better it is.
Well, I guess, you know, that brings up another quick point that, and again, a place where Amy and I really were on the same page is that she and I both notice in our different, you know, work, hers with the kids and mine with the straight spouses, is that there were stories and stories and stories and stories, but not a lot of resources, not a lot of, okay, this is what happened, and now how do we move forward from it?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you say that, Amy? Didn't you see that with the kids?
Yeah. it was difficult to find outlets for, you know, moving forward. And also, I think a variety of outlets is important, too, because everybody heals differently and needs different things. So.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's very true, too, because just like I say that you can't make a connection with everyone. Keep trying until you can make a connection with someone. And especially when it comes to therapy, there's some wonderful counselors out there, but it doesn't mean you're going to make a connection. You have
right.
to really feel comfortable and feel that you're going to benefit from these sessions with the counselor. And I think that's one of our problems is just finding that kind of support, which is why I'm always so thrilled when I can find someone who I can say is, I feel so confident that you're going to move ahead with this person like they do with you, Kim. So I think that says a lot about you as a therapist, and it's really important to have those kinds of resources because it's one thing to go through the healing process, which is like the grieving process, as I tell our women, you know, I use the Kubler-Ross
mm-hmm.
type of looking at grief that way, but for straight-wise a little bit differently, you know, putting it in for us. But the point is that everybody's going to go through the same shock and they're going to go through the same horror and the bargaining. And finally you get to the anger stage. And anger, I think, is so important, you know, because anger
mm-hmm.
is a way of fighting back and standing up for yourself. But if you can't get past that anger and you get stuck there, that anger will turn to bitterness. And bitterness hurts. And it not only hurts you, but it hurts your children. It hurts the people around you. And if you get stuck for too long in that anger without knowing how to process it, you're going to be there forever, well, maybe not forever, but for a long time, and you're going to miss out on really quality years of your own life.
Yeah,
I
that's
think
right.
that for women, I tell them, this time has to be for you. You have ignored yourself a long time, and now it's time for you to start thinking about you and your life and how you can make your life better and not worry about, you know, your husband and what's going on in his life. You have to focus on your life. And
mm-hmm.
how you can improve it. And if you don't move ahead, then you're just always going to be behind. And I see some women who seem to not be able to make that adjustment. So I'm so glad that you're offering a way for them to do it. And I think if a woman is struggling with this, that it's so important to get this kind of help. And this is something that's coming up fast and soon, but it's going to be coming up again. I know it's a little late for a lot of women now. It's the end of December, and they're thinking, oh, I wish I could go to this, but, you know, it's in a few weeks, and I don't have enough time. Spend all my money on the holidays, can't get the transportation money. But if you're in the St. Louis area, that's certainly not far away from it to start with, so that might be, work out for you. But for other women, this will be coming up again, right?
In San Francisco in April and Chicago in May. So, yeah.
Now, is that primarily, though, for the children or is that for the wives and husbands? Is it mixed? Does it matter?
The first one is for straight spouses. We opened it to kids and straight spouses, and just the kids there weren't any kids that were interested in DC for January, but I think in San Francisco we want kids and straight spouses, and eventually.
That's exactly right.
What?
Yeah.
Sorry, Kim?
That's exactly right. I mean, Amy is really tied into the community in San Francisco of the adult kids who have had a parent come out. But I'm not here in D.C., so I was not able to really get the word out. But so for me, it was much easier to have just straight spouses in San Francisco than and moving forward, we're hoping to do both.
You know, forgive me. I don't know where I got St. Louis from.
That's where they're located. That's where the company is located. And
okay,
that's where Amy and I
went. You're doing this
in
Washington, right? But you're doing this in Washington. I'm sorry if I
gave
people that wrong information.
Yeah.
Yikes. Okay,
Bonnie,
it's in Washington.
D.C. I've got to give you kudos, Bonnie. You are a wonderful multitasker. As you've been interviewing us, you also made a donation to GoFundMe. So thank you very much.
Well, I like to do it right away.
Yeah.
So I can do it right on
great.
Time. I like to make sure that I know how to do it and that I get it done so that other people can do it too. And I'm more than happy to support this because I think it is so important. And maybe someday I'll be really rich and I can support it a lot more. But right now that's what I can do.
Well, I'll tell you, we would love to have you come.
Yeah.
Thank you. Someday when I can cut down on my other jobs a little bit, I'd be happy to. And maybe one day you can do it in Philadelphia.
Yeah, absolutely, because I know there's quite there's a lot of folks up there, yeah.
Well, there, and also then you can move to the next stop. I'll try to get Amy to come to New York. That might work out really well. There's a lot of straight spouses in New York, I bet, who would love this, and Amy really needs to see New York. I told her I'll take her around and show her around New York. That'll be my pleasure.
Oh, nice.
I know. So now as we're traveling up, and next Boston, we have a lot of women there, too. So I think it'll be great as you keep going from region to region. I'm really excited about this, and I hope that you'll keep up, with us and maybe get back to us after the conference, maybe before the second one, so we can talk about it a little bit on the show to encourage people, if they miss this first one because it's too soon, that there are others coming up, and that maybe we can talk a little bit how the first one went. Would that be possible?
That would be terrific.
Yeah,
that would
be great.
Okay, great. So are there any other directions to give people, and they know where to write to, they want to go to it, they go to Kim at Straightforward. Say it again, Kim.
Kim at straightforwardcounseling.com.
Okay.
And that's
Amy,
my email address. Go ahead, Amy.
How about for Amy for kids of, gay fathers?
The best way to get a hold of me would be send me an email, Amy, A-M-I-E, at gaydadproject.org, gaydadproject.org.
And I'm just curious, Amy, in your group of gaydad.org, are there also people who have gay moms?
Mm-hmm. Yep. We've
so
met a few with gay moms, gay dads.
Mm-hmm.
Some have had both parents come out.
And also, I just wanted to mention that Amy and I were talking earlier that the reason it's so important for her group to really move along and get, you know, more membership, that before Amy's group, the only group really that was out there for kids was Collage. And I think it's a very different dynamic because it's primarily for parents where both parents are gay and their children need support. And they have totally different issues than children who come from a straight gay marriage. So that's why I'm so happy that, you know, Amy is really addressing those issues and those dynamics, because I think they're a lot different. And I think it's really important that we get as many people on track as possible. I know a lot of times young people will just say, well, I don't want to talk about it, or I don't want to deal with it. But as they get older, they don't deal with it. You know, they're also in a mess, right, Amy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Doesn't it affect you? Would you say?
I think it's, it's like anything. You can learn. I just see it like I can learn from this, and it's, I wouldn't necessarily want to go back and redo it all again, but I'm at a point where I'm really thankful for the experiences I've had, because it's definitely taught me some really great things, too. And it's made me who I am, so it's, you know, in that way, it's been a positive thing. But, yeah, it's, you know, you got to talk about it and deal with it and hopefully find support and find the people that understand, because then it gets better.
I think the main ingredient for both of you is that by going to these workshops, by being part of your group, Amy, by going to other kinds of support mechanisms like this, is that you realize that even though you feel so alone, you're not alone at all.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
all the things that you've been feeling for so long are very natural feelings when you're going through this specific situation. And that's what I think the greatness is. I mean, I know that you're going to have a lot of people, I don't know about the guys who are coming there, but like at least the women probably be crying. I don't know if these guys are going to cry. But
everybody cries.
I know with my women, they're all, you know, they're always crying, because for the first time, sometimes they're just crying out of joy of being with other people who can really understand them. They've never met people before, and other than their families or their friends, but they've never actually met other straight spouses. And sometimes they're crying because they're reliving the pain, which is part of the healing process, too.
Yeah.
But I guess make sure you bring a lot of Kleenex. I found that that's really important at these events.
Well, yeah. I think that's one of the most powerful aspects of this weekend, is that it's going to be everybody that's been through this. And I know for me, just meeting other people and being able to share those emotions it continues to be life-changing. So, connecting.
Amy, I'm just curious, would you consider doing one just for the kids instead of, like, mixing it?
If there was an interest, I think we would.
Yeah, I think that would be really something to think about, because maybe kids would feel more comfortable in an environment where they don't have to be, you know, with their moms or dads to be able to express things that maybe they wouldn't feel comfortable expressing. And I think that would really be appealing for a lot of younger people. That's just something to think about.
I think that's a great idea, but I do want to clarify that we definitely would not have
the same
kids and parents of the same family at the same weekend.
Okay, well, that's good to know, too.
Yeah, for that very reason. So they have the freedom to say whatever they want and not have one of their parents in the room and not feel, you know, constrained or constricted by that.
Right. But who knows? I just think it's, like you say, power, and when you can relate to your own group. And I'm not saying this isn't great, but maybe even thinking to a next step of maybe just doing, you know, kids of.
Mm-hmm.
Might be a really great weekend, too. So it's just something for the future to think about. And in the meantime, I wanted to thank you both so much. I know it's a busy time, the holiday time. Amy, what are you doing for the holidays?
I'm actually going to be working really hard on some projects that I want to get a jump start on for 2015. So.
Okay, good. That kind of ambitious.
I'm going to take some time and spend it with some friends and you know, call the people I can't be with. But my main holiday is actually going to be kind of immersing myself in some projects for 2015.
All right. You know how
to
celebrate.
That's a great way to great way to start the year. And how about you, Kim? Are you going away or doing anything special for the holiday?
Bonnie, I don't know what in the world made me suggest this, but I invited all of my new in-laws over for dinner. And so
that is really sad, Kim. I hope you have a wonderful time cooking for everybody.
Exactly.
Right?
You know, hopefully KFC is open in case it doesn't work out, but I'm
exactly.
looking forward to it.
That's really wonderful.
Just
I'm glad you're going
nervous.
To have that. And I'm going to take a vacation day that day. I said, on Christmas Day, I am taking a vacation day. I'm going to take my phone off the hook and just spend some time with my boyfriend, who, by the way, I'm going to be celebrating 21 years with him in 2 weeks.
Oh,
wow.
Congratulations.
Congrats.
Yeah.
Thank you. He's my straight boyfriend of 21 years.
See, love does happen again.
And not only does it happen, but we're still so much in love and we're old. And I think that's an amazing thing. You two are like young babe chicks. You know, I'm an old woman here and I'm still madly in love. And very, very happy, happier than ever. So it does, you know, second chances do come along. I always tell our women, you can never give up hope. Like
that's
Suzette
exactly
getting
right.
married today. I'm so excited. Suzette also comes to my show. You know, she's a coach and once a month, and she's really awesome. And I'm so happy that she found her true love. And it's just a wonderful thing. Kim, are you writing any books?
Not at the moment.
Okay,
you know,
when you're ready,
there's
I'll
a book
know,
in my head forever, but yeah,
okay.
I admire your discipline in doing that.
Well, maybe after these workshops you can do it too, because at least you know you can write about them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you need any help getting published. All right, so both of you have a wonderful weekend, a wonderful holiday, and thank you so much, and we'll talk to you soon again.
Thanks, Bonnie.
Hey, Bonnie.
Happy holidays to you.
You too.
Thank you, and we'll
bye-bye.
Be in touch again. And everyone, have a wonderful holiday. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.